Welcome to Reality Student Ministries, and thanks for listening. We are all about learning how to live this life to the fullest, getting the most out of every day. For information on upcoming events, sermon series, and ways to connect, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com, as well as like our Facebook page at RSM. Now here's today's message.
We're starting a new series tonight, and it's a series that's actually, this is what's exciting, is back in September, the pastors got together, and we started talking about what would it be like if all of us were on the same page, preaching kind of similar topics, and we're going through this almost a campaign is what we're calling it. And so we decided way back then that, hey, we're going to start doing this thing. And so from Kids Blast to the adults on Sunday morning to now back here in Reality Youth, we're doing this series called Transformed. We're doing this thing talking about how God is transforming our mind. And some of you guys are like, am I going to hear the exact same message that I heard on Sunday? Yes, I'm actually just going to play Pastor Aaron's message, and we're just going to sit here. No, I'm just kidding. What we're going to look at different aspects, different little side things about what does it mean to be transformed in our spiritual health, in our physical health, in our mental health, in our minds, with our relationships, with our friends, with our money, cheddar, right? Some of you, you're like, I don't make that. It's okay. We'll talk about that too. And everything in between, because we believe that when God says, I want all of you, I want all of your heart, that's not just the part that we come to church at. Like, he doesn't want just the time slot. Okay, I love Jesus, that means I have to show up to church at this time and this time. That's all I really have to do. That's all following God means. No, it means that he wants to transform your life completely. He wants to make you into something completely new, right? And so we're strong believers in that, and Romans 12:2 is kind of our theme verse. And that's what is written down on that piece of paper there. It is, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're going to talk about what that means to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And I don't know about you, when I first heard about this series and we started talking about it, like, I got really giddy because I like Transformers. Anyone like into the Transformers? Like, okay, we just watched the last one with Marky Mark, and it was like, I was not impressed. But I loved growing up. Before all that cool computer, all that stuff, there was this thing called a piece of paper and a crayon. It probably wasn't crayons, but it was this thing that they colored. It was called a cartoon, and it was awesome because I would watch them on Saturday mornings, and it was Transformers. And what's crazy is they're like, with new CG graphics, and it was like, I was like, wow, man, we've come a long ways since then. But I grew up on Transformers, and they changed them into kind of a different sect called Beast Wars. Anyone ever hear of Beast Wars? It's where they do, like, animals, and they transform and stuff. And I was like, this is so cool. And this is why it was cool. Besides the fact that it, like, was doing all this cool stuff and like, transformed and kicked butt, and you're like, that is awesome! It, like, had rockets that shot out of its paws, and, like, Optimus Prime was this giant ape gorilla thing, and it was just legit, right? But besides all that, was the fact that it took ordinary things, animals, like even a dog, or if you look at the Transformers that you guys know, like cars, ordinary things, like a semi-truck, that's not cool. Like, no one's like, dude, check out that semi-truck. That is so awesome. And it changes it, though, into something extraordinary. Like Optimus Prime as the semi-truck, right? That was extraordinary. It takes something normal and changes it into something extraordinary. And so that's what God does with us, is it takes something ordinary, us, and changes us into something extraordinary. It changes us into something that's incredible. And so this is what some of you guys are like, well, I grew up in church, I know, I love Jesus and all that stuff. But often we get on this thing called cruise control. And in my life, this happened of where I'm like, yes, Jesus, and yes, oh, camp experience, convention, oh, awesome service or whatever. I'm like, I'm growing in my relationship with God. But then all of a sudden, it was just like, yeah. And it was just like, I'm doing all the right things, showing up to church, but I'm kind of just cruising. I'm not really growing or going anywhere. I'm just kind of plateauing. For those of you guys that are in geography, you know what a plateau is. And it's just kind of like, right? And all of a sudden, we find ourselves sometimes in that place where we feel like, man, it was going great, and now it's kind of just like, it's just like, oh, that's not really as great as I was hoping it would be. But see, I want us to get out of that. And that's why we're so adamant about this campaign of Transform, to the point where even I encourage you to show up on Sunday mornings, even for Sunday school, because we're going through this whole Transform small group series about answering some practical questions of what's the nuts and bolts, how do we actually do this thing? But this is what's cool about Transformers. Back to my obsession with Transformers. And by the way, I have a ton of them back home in my parents' closet, actually up in their attic. And my mom's always asking me, so when are you going to get all this junk out of the attic? I'm like, that's not junk, Mom. Those are like collector's items, okay? She's like, Donnie, you ripped all of them apart. No, my nephews ripped all of them apart. And I'm still really bitter about that because they did not put them back together. And now I got like Transformer parts everywhere. But anyways, coming back. The thing about Transformers is not only is it cool to take something from ordinary to extraordinary, but what they did when they were together, and you didn't see this in the movies, but when they came together, they formed this Megabot, like this really kick butt, huge thing, nothing can stand in its way. And so all of a sudden, that's what we start to see in our relationship with one another, is we're not just being transformed by God by ourselves. We're being transformed by God, but with other people around us. And when we come together at church here, whether it's on that Sunday morning or wherever it might be, when we come together and we're saying, hey, let's live this life for God, all of a sudden we come together as transformed beings, going from ordinary to extraordinary, and we come together to form this unstoppable force, this megabot, if you will, this amazing, incredible thing that all of a sudden God has put us here not to do life alone, but to do life together. Because he knows that, hey, in this life you are going to have trouble and problems, but hey, take heart. Not only have I overcome this world and done this world with you, but I've sent people to be alongside of you because you are not alone. And here's the thing, the only way we can defeat Satan is when we do it together. You can't do this life alone. So it's time to start living like we're changed. And the series, for some of you, might seem like it's kind of touching some surface level stuff. But I challenge you to peel back the layers and say, you know what, God, where are you challenging me in? What attribute are you calling me into? Who are you really, and who are you calling me to be? Right? So Romans 12:2, we said that already. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So back in the day, giant ships, had these sails and were like going places, but they were turned. You might see some of them. I watch a lot of Jake the pirate, right? The Neverland Pirates with Obadiah. And so this big wheel, it's like, whoa, that's such a big wheel. But in the back, there's this little rudder that's like, burr, burr. And that tiny little rudder steers the big ship. And it actually talks about this for some of you guys that have studied James. You might know this. In James 3, it talks about this whole idea that even a tiny rudder can steer a big ship, even a bit in the horse's mouth, like this little 3-inch. That was my horse impression. You stick this bit in a horse's mouth, and you can steer the horse. You can steer this power with such a tiny thing, right? And so this is what I want to get at today. It's the small habits that bring big transformation. It's the small habits in our life that are seemingly insignificant that bring about big transformation. And we often think that being a Christian is an automatic thing. You said the prayer and all that stuff, and then all of a sudden, 2 Corinthians 5:17, you know, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. Yeah. And being a Christian, you say the prayer, you accept Christ into your heart, and that's that. But all of a sudden, he changes you from the inside out. And that means that there's something that starts to change within you. And while your decision might be instantaneous, our actions might take a while to follow. There's a picture I want to show you. It'll come up here. And it's this. Keep going. There. It's a picture. Anyone know what that picture is of? It's a seed. Go to the next picture. That seed is a redwood tree, one of the largest species of trees that there are. That tiny little seed fit in the palm of your hand, right? You could hold probably hundreds of those seeds. Grows to be something that you could drive a car through and still have space on either side, right? And all of a sudden, we see this tiny seed become a redwood tree. Now, this transformation series that we're going to be talking about is looking through a lot of characters through Scripture, and we can find that God has placed within each of us the ability to become a redwood tree, the ability to become something amazing, something extraordinary inside of each one of us. But some of us, we're just seeing the seed that we are, and we're like, we're so tiny. How can we ever amount to anything huge and significant? And see, here's the reality. That seed would never grow into a tree except for a couple factors. Three of those factors being, one, the soil that it's in. And that soil kind of represents in our life the people, the environment that we allow to influence us. Whether it's our friends, our family. Sometimes we don't get to choose the family we're born into, and sometimes our families are a wreck. Let's just be honest. Sometimes our families are like wacko. It's like, what are you talking about, right? It's kind of crazy sometimes. You're just like, oh my gosh, if I was in her family, my life would be awesome, right? But I'm in this family, and it stinks so bad, right? So some of us think that it's if I was born into a different environment. But guess what? You can allow and you could choose to let that environment impact you, or you could say, you know what, God? I know that you've placed me here for a reason, and I'm going to grow in spite of it. I'm going to grow because of it, because I believe that you put me here for a reason. You didn't just be like, oh, sorry, I forgot about that one. That family is crazy. I'm really sorry. I didn't mean to put you there. Oh, well, just deal with it. Like, God's not up there saying that. Number two is the water that feeds it. The water kind of represents God's word in our life, that living water that kind of flows in us and nourishes us and gives us a life force. And then the third one is the sun that helps it grow, right? And that kind of sun I was thinking of is kind of like our prayer life, in the sense that, God, would you do something incredible? And as we start to pray, we start to grow. And as we start to grow, we start to stretch. And as we start to stretch, we start to reach out towards the sun more and more. And keeps this repeating process as we get nourished from the water of God, right? And so it's this whole step. And what happens is we go from that seed into a huge redwood tree, into something incredible. We go from something ordinary into something extraordinary. Right? And so through this transformation series, I encourage you and I implore you and I challenge you, let people invest in you. We're going to be breaking into huddle groups at the end of every one of our sermons. And that's where we're going to be able to have a time of sharing and say, hey, how can we do this life together? I encourage you, man, get involved, invest in other people, and allow people to invest in you as we talk about this. Come to Sunday mornings and get into our small group with Rachel back there leading and be invested into and invest in other people, because that is how we're going to start growing. When we start to say, you know what, God, I want to do this thing. I want to actually start to live out a transformed life. Get connected to God's word and allow him to really shine some light into your life. So this week, we're talking about being spiritually healthy. What does that look like? What does that even mean to be spiritually healthy? Kind of like physically healthy. It's when we're physically healthy, we're able to do things that we weren't able to do before. Right? We're able to be stronger and do some other things that we weren't able to do before when we were unfit, unhealthy, and stuff like that. Spiritual health is merely living a lifestyle that's in line with who God's called you to be. When you say, I'm spiritually healthy, and when you're like, I don't know if I am or not, right? You can say, all right, let me see what has God called me to do? Who has God called me to be? Open up the Bible and say, you know what? God says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. You know, they will know we are Christians by our love. They'll see that we're his disciples by the fruits that we produce. God, am I producing any fruit? Is this really in line with who you are, with who you've called me to be? And we can check ourselves with that. Because when you decide to be healthy physically, guess what? You have to put into some, you got to put into practice some habits, right? It's not like I can instantly be like, dude, I am going to be so healthy right now. And then just like walk away. People are like, oh, wow, what are you doing? No, I'm just saying it. It just feels good to say. I am so healthy right now, so fit. oh, wow, how much can you bench? I have no idea. I don't do that. I don't exercise. But I am so fit. It's incredible, right? And all of a sudden, we do that spiritually, though. I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. Oh, wow, really? What do you, you know, what does that look like? I love Jesus. Yeah, I show up to church, and I do this clapping thing. Sometimes offbeat, but it's great. It's like, oh, cool. Right? And so we want to talk about, what does it mean? Like, if our goal, right, when you want to be physically fit, you kind of set a goal. You know, I want to get down to this weight, or I want to be able to bench this much, or I want to be able to be in shape. Like, go up the steps without losing my breath, being like, right? Like, if you can't get up to the game room up there without, like, then you might want to reconsider where you are in your physical health. So our goal spiritually is this whole idea of John 10:10, live life full. Be bold in our prayers, in our witness, in our faith. And so I want to be clear real fast, though. These habits that we're going to talk about don't make God love you anymore. These habits that we're going to talk about don't mean that you're more of a redwood tree. That seed is as much a redwood tree as that giant tree is. It has everything within it to become that giant tree. So I don't want you to think that, well, if I do these habits, that means that I'm the perfect Christian. No, that's not what it means. This is merely enabling you to do the work that God has called you to do. That doesn't mean that God all of a sudden loves you so much more. He loves you as much as he is ever going to love you. You can't earn any more of God's love than you already have, because God thinks you're incredible, right? But often we misunderstand it. It's like you own a gym membership. That's like being a Christian. You own a gym membership. That doesn't instantly make you fit, right? We just got a gym membership to the Y, and as you can tell, that doesn't mean that I'm instantly in my peak physical fitness physique. But what do I have to do? I got to go there and use it. I got to go and use that membership and work out in that process. Just like when we say we follow Christ, there's aspects that God says, hey, I want to use you, but you got to be spiritually fit enough to be able to be used. So this series is all about aligning ourselves with who God has called us to be and allowing him to do that in us and through us. So here's something of encouragement real fast, is these fruits of these habits are not always reflected in the day-to-day. You don't always see it instantaneously coming forth. And when I say that, I think of David. I think of David, and he was the shepherd. He was overlooked and all this stuff. And we talked about him a couple weeks ago. But this whole idea that David, I mean, he was even overlooked by his dad. Like, this guy comes and was like, hey, one of your sons is going to be king. And his dad was like, okay, I'll bring all my sons. But he didn't bring David, because he was like, there's no way that kid is ever going to do anything besides be a shepherd boy. Like, he's not going to be a king. So I'll just leave him. And so sometimes we feel like we're overlooked. We feel like, God, you left us out of something. You didn't give me all the talents like you gave him or her. And all of a sudden, we feel like, oh, man. But David, what I love about David is he cultivated that relationship with God. And he talked with God out in the fields, in the sheep fields. He cultivated what it means to look after sheep, what it means to connect with God, what it means to trust God when lions and tigers and bears, oh my, right? When they come, he cultivated these habits of protecting what he was given, of stewarding well what he had. And when the time arose, because of his relationship with God that was built in the sheep fields, when the time arose, when the opportunity arose, he was launched into his destiny in the battlefield. And so some of us need to understand that you might not feel like you're in the middle of this amazing adventure. I want to be David and Goliath right now. You might be in the sheep fields. And this is a time for you to cultivate a relationship with God, to steward well what's given to you. Because God's given you talents and abilities, so you need to steward well what's been given to you. We need to develop the habits like David that allow us the strength to do what we've been called to do when the opportunity arises. And here's the thing, God has put something inside of you that needs to grow out of you. God has put something inside of you, just like that redwood seed, that needs to grow out of you, that needs to grow. And so here are the habits that we want to talk about today in developing what it means to be spiritually healthy. The first one, and this is acrostic, you know, where you spell out a word and then each letter has something, right? So the acrostic is habits. The first one is hanging out with God, hanging out with God. And you'll understand this more and more as you grow older, but when you start to move away from your friends and you start not to talk to them as much, all of a sudden you don't really have that relationship with them like you used to. And whenever you do talk to them, it's all about like, oh, remember the time when? That was awesome, right? Like years ago, like years and years ago. And so all of a sudden you see that there's distance because you don't keep in constant communication with them. And so that the same thing can happen with your relationship with God is you start to lose this communication with him. Because here's the point. Communication causes growth. Communication causes growth. But it takes intentionality. It doesn't happen on accident, and it happens on purpose. Communication causes growth, but it takes intentionality to be able to do it, and it doesn't happen by accident. It happens on purpose. And so we have to purpose to communicate with God on a daily basis, right? This is true in any relationship, any marriage, any friendship, in my work, in any interaction with humans. Communication has to take place. It's not like you go to Starbucks and you just stand there. Hi, how can I help you? Sir, are you okay? Sir! Right? That doesn't work. Right, we have to communicate to them in order to be able to get this process going. And so, likewise, we need to communicate with God. We need to set aside time and say, God, I want to speak to you. I want to hear what you have to speak to me. And so it's this process continually that we have to go back to. Even Jesus set up this habit. Check it. In Mark 1, verse 35, it says, before daybreak the next morning, Jesus was a morning person. Jesus got up and went out to an isolated place to pray. So the question is, how do you communicate with God? How do we communicate with God? Well, God speaks to us through his word. A lot of people are like, I've never heard God speak to me. Well, you've never read the Bible then. Because if you read the Bible, that's God speaking to you, right? So set aside time, read his word, pray, be intentional about worship. Be intentional about taking your focus off of yourself and onto the amazing, incredible God that he is, right? So create a habit every day. Spend a few minutes with God, 5, 10, 15, whatever. That's why we provide devotionals. There are these little booklets out at the Welcome Center. Man, I encourage you, grab one. That helps you connect with God. All right, so the next habit. A, attending church. Do I have to go to church to be a Christian? No. You do not have to go to church to be a Christian. Do I have to go to church to grow? Yes. A lot of people argue with me on that. But God set this life up to do in relationships with one another. So a habit that you need to get into is attending church. Hebrews 10 verse 25 says, let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Make a habit of coming to church. I know most of you guys are like, my parents dragged me to church, right? I understand. Not always, though. Not all of you. Your parents don't drag you to church. And sometimes when your parents are like, oh, let's just take a break, you're like, okay. Because you don't see the importance of coming to church, right? And then some of you, you just need to realize that, hey, this thing called church is powerful. And this thing called church is someplace that I need to be and make it a priority in my life. And I know that there's rehearsals and sports and all sorts of practices and all sorts of stuff. And I understand that. And I'm not saying that stuff is bad or evil. But check this. When it starts to pull you away from church on a continual basis, there's something that God's wanting to do in you here that can't happen outside by yourself. Because there's something that happens when we grow closer together. There's a verse in the Old Testament that talks about iron sharpening iron. That means that it has to come in contact with other iron. That means that you have to come in contact with other people that can come alongside and say, listen, hey, man, how can I help you grow closer into your relationship with God? Because if that's not happening, then all of a sudden you're like, the Jedi boy that's just swinging a sword around by yourself because there's no other iron to come in contact with, and you're just swinging. And you're not doing anything. You're just looking goofy and making millions of YouTube hits on the internet, right? So make a habit of coming to church. And this is something that I thought of was a stagnant pond. I'm sorry, Lapish kids. I was thinking about the time that I went out there and caught frogs out in this little pond by one of your dorms. And it's this nasty pond that's just filled with water, and it's just gross. And there's like, it kind of smells a little bit, and it's like, oh, it's okay. Like, that's what a stagnant pond all by itself is. No offense, right? And all of a sudden, we see, though, that when water starts to go into a pond and starts to come out, that this stagnant pond, this nasty gunk, the nasty smell that starts to grow on it, starts to go away because new water's coming in and taking away the bad water. And all of a sudden, it starts to get clean, starts to get something that you want to play in and go swimming in. And all of a sudden, it starts to be something that's actually refreshing. That's like our lives. When we don't attend church, we become like a stagnant pond, kind of just, ugh, thinking we all got it together, but then all of a sudden, we're like, ugh, I stink, right? I'm growing something nasty, like just all over, right? But it's this idea that when we come to church, it's allowing God, the living water, to kind of wash us out. It's allowing people to come alongside of us and say, hey, let's get rid of some of this stuff. And all of a sudden, we start to see this effect of it being able to take away some of the nastiness. God wants us to become consistently refreshed by coming together. I've said it before. We is always greater than me. We is greater than me. All right, next habit, B. Be generous. Being generous. That's a habit that we need to start to develop. Focus on others. Put others before yourself. Right? This isn't just about financial, but a lot of it can be. Proverbs 22, verse 9 says, blessed are those who are generous. 2 Corinthians 9, 7 says, you must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. I heard a pastor once say, I've never met a grumpy, generous Christian. And it's kind of true. There's something about being generous that breaks down the selfish mindset that you have, that breaks down this thing that causes you to just want me, more. Because from birth, we're genetically engineered to want. But you have to fight against this nature to ultimately become what God created you to be. He created you to be his hands and his feet, right? And what did his hands and his feet do? John 3:16, he gave his one and only son. God gives generously, and we need to model that in our life. So whether it's giving of our time, energy, maybe it's giving of our money, right? That offering that we took up for Speed the Light, we put out a challenge that we want to raise $3,500 in the year of 2015. We want to see God do something incredible because we believe that when we give, that God will multiply and that souls will ultimately be saved. That's what's crazy, is every time that you hold a dollar, that can represent a soul that's going to be won for Christ. That's crazy. When you start to say, I want to be generous, I want to give because I believe that God is going to do something powerful, that's when God really starts to show up, all right? Gotta keep moving. Next habit, investing in Christian friendships. Proverbs 27, verse 17, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Hey, did I just not talk about that just a second ago? Here's the thing, having non-Christian friends isn't bad, right? Some of you guys have grown up, don't have non-Christian friends, don't have people that are bad like that. Guess what? We talked about this before. You are called to shine God's light. For light to fulfill its purpose, it has to come in contact with darkness. Non-Christian friends, that's not a bad thing. But here's the thing. You need to have Christian friends. If you don't have Christian friends, then those non-Christian friends become a bad thing. You need to have people that are bold enough to come alongside of you and keep you accountable in the way that you live. Keep you accountable in the goal that you have. It's not enough just to say, hey, don't let me date any losers, okay? Okay, I won't let you date any losers, okay? Right? It's not enough. It's hey, I want to fulfill everything that God's created me for, and I don't want to compromise anything. Okay, Let's do this thing together, and let's see how we can be hold each other accountable, because I don't want you to compromise, and I don't want to compromise any minuscule thing just because it might feel good now. I know that it can be detrimental in the future. So it's okay to have non-Christian friends, but you best be sure that you have some Christian friends that say, I want to come alongside and run this race hard with you. Because that's how we start to be used by God. Because here's the thing. Brass tacks, friends influence you. Friends influence you. It's just the way it is, right? Jeannie Mayo used to say the saying all the time, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Because the people that you hang out with the most are the ones that will dictate where you get to. And so we need to make sure that we invest in Christian friends and we hang out with them the most, right? Next habit, T, telling my story. Here's a fact. Jesus did something in your life and is continuing to do something amazing in your life, or is about to do something amazing in your life. Jesus is doing something incredible. That's a fact. Jesus is doing something incredible. Some of you guys have grown up through the church and you're like me, and you're like, my testimony is I grew up in church. My pacifier was a cross. It's just like, I don't know. You can't get much more Christian than this, right? That's just who I am. And so some of you guys realize that that's kind of your story, kind of like my story. And I used to get so frustrated, so mad, because I wanted, like, this crazy, man, I was a horrible person, I was all over the place, and then God saved me, and look where I am. But that wasn't my story. And I realized it was because I was discontent with the life that I was living now. It's not about my past, but it's about what God's doing in my life right now. And I realized that God, I'm not really allowing God to challenge me in anything in my life right now. In fact, my life was boring, and we've decided that, you know, if we feel bored, that means that we're living in sin. If you feel bored, that means that you're living in sin, because that means that you feel like this moment is useless and pointless, and I'm not for this moment. I wasn't made for this moment. We know that God says, no, I made every moment for you. There is something that I want you to do intentionally in every moment. So live life on purpose. And so I realized that quickly, it's not so much about my past, and, oh, I wish that I had a crazy past. I have a past that's incredible, that God kept me, and he was faithful, and he kept me faithful to him. And yet, I wanted to get to a point where, yeah, I dealt with pride. Yeah, I dealt with a lot of other junk. Maybe not the big sins that everyone's like, ooh, right? But I dealt with a lot of personal issues, right? I've even told you guys about how I had to deal with the mindset of suicide, depression. I dealt with a lot of that stuff. But God kept me faithful to him. I kept pursuing after him. And all of a sudden, I realized that I need to pursue after him hard. I need to be intentional about how I go after this life of Christ, right? Luke 8, verse 37 through 39 says, so Jesus returned in the boat and left, crossing back to the other side of the lake. The man who had been freed from the demons, see, Jesus had showed up and cast some demons out of this guy. He said, this guy came back and said he begged to go with him. But Jesus sent him home saying, no, go back to your family and tell them everything God has done for you. So he went all through the town proclaiming the great things that Jesus has done. So maybe you haven't seen it. Maybe you haven't felt it. Maybe you're not never been demon possessed. All right. But God has done some incredible things in your life. And if you're saying, I just don't see it, maybe you need to check your life and say, God, I want to be a part of something incredible, because I know that your testimony in my life is amazing. And sometimes I have these scales on my life because I feel like, you know, it's nothing special. It's ordinary. But I know that you've created something extraordinary in me. I'm a seed that has the redwood potential, right? And so we got to start living life on purpose. Jesus never had to fall into temptation to be able to see people turn to a personal relationship with God. I always think about that. Jesus never had to fall into temptation, and then people were like, whoa, did you hear his testimony? That was crazy. He was doing all this horrible stuff, and now he's the Son of God. That's just not how it was. You know why people turned to God through seeing Jesus? Because he was living powerfully every day. Every time he came in contact with people, he led intentionally. He had conversations on purpose because he was able to see the unseen. He was able to see the spiritual side of things. He was able to say, you know what, God's called you to something greater. He was able to operate in the power of God and be able to see blind eyes healed, dead men walk. Why can't that be done in us and through us? Why can't God do something incredible through us, right? We're called to do that exact same thing, to get out of the ordinary and to live in the extraordinary of who God has called us to be. So tell your story. Ask God to peel back the scales of the self-centeredness on your eyes. The next habit, last habit, serving others. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Just like how we all have stories to tell, we all have talents and gifts, right? You are unique, and you can connect to people in a way that no one else can. You draw others to Christ, your parents, your siblings, your teammates, your coworkers, all of them, one step closer to Christ in a way that no one else can. You do. So make the most of those opportunities. If we serve the God of the impossible, impossible things will happen. But we have to serve him. We have to get out of our comfort zone and into the courageous. We have to get out of there and start a conversation. We have to get out of there and start opening the doors for people, picking up the trash, writing a note of encouragement to the teachers, making your siblings' bed. What? Here's the thing. These six habits help our spiritual health to align with who God's called us to be. And they might seem simple, but they're not always easy. And that's what I'm learning more and more about God is, man, he's called us to do some simple things, but they're not always that easy. And so we're going to break into huddles tonight. And what we're going to do is we'll have all the girls meet in the back and all the guys meet up front. And we're going to break into the huddles out of that in just a second. But what we're going to do is we'll have our support staff grab. And it's just a little sheet, and it has the H-A-B-I-T-S. It has that, and I want you to discuss within your huddle, hey, what's one simple way that we can take the next step in who God's called us to be? What's one simple way that we could set up a habit of hanging out with God, of attending church on a regular basis, of being generous, of investing in Christian friendships, in telling others about our story, and in serving others? What's one way that we can do that? So let's. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to break up into groups, girls in the back and guys up front. Dear God, I thank you for who you are. God, I thank you for who you have called us to be. God, that you have set us up for success, not failure. And Lord, I pray that we would understand the importance of placing these habits in our life, not because we want to be loved by you more, but God, we know that we want to be able to do what you have called us to do. And we can't do that if we're far from you. So Lord, I pray that you would give us insight on how to grow closer to you spiritually. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to this message from Reality Student Ministries. Our hope is that you've learned a little bit more of who God is and who he has called you to be. For information on how you can get connected to our student ministry, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com or like our Facebook page at RSM. Now get out there and have an incredible day.